Once again this week, I have the privilege of being with you to worship the true and the living God in heaven above, and I'm thankful for the opportunity afforded me to be with you at this place on this occasion. I thank you for being here tonight, for you taking time out of your schedule to be here, for your interest in spiritual things. For that, we're very, very grateful and want you to know that. Encourage you, if you will, to take your Bibles out and turn to Psalm 23, if you will, please. Psalm 23. Ladies and gentlemen, there probably is no more famous and well-known psalm than this one, Psalm 23. It is read at a number of funerals. It's found on the back of bookmarkers, on various sizes and types of plaques hanging from the walls of countless homes. It's memorized by children and adults alike. It indeed is a well-known psalm. But I ask the question tonight, how many people really know the shepherd and are known by him, that is, the shepherd of whom the psalm speaks? In John chapter 10, ladies and gentlemen, in verse 24 of the chapter, we read in that passage, let me back up here. We read in that passage where Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own." In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, Paul, writing to the young evangelist Timothy, said, "The Lord knows those that belong to Him." And the question tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is, do I know the shepherd, and am I known of the shepherd? The answer to this question is vitally important. Let's begin reading Psalm 23, verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You'll notice, ladies and gentlemen, as this psalm begins, that which is known as the Shepherd's Psalm, that David begins the psalm by letting us know that he knew the shepherd and knew that he was his shepherd. David begins the psalm by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." I want you to notice David's confidence. There's no "if the Lord is my shepherd," or "I hope so," but rather, "He is my shepherd." Further note the use of the word "my." David does not say, "The Lord is the shepherd of the world at large, and He leads forth the multitude as His flock." No, that's not what David says. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Notice how personal he makes it. If He be shepherd to no one else, He is shepherd to me. You know, ladies and gentlemen, that's reminiscent of Paul's attitude toward his relationship with the Lord. Turn, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3 and notice verse 8 of the chapter. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, or you can read it on the screen with me. Paul, writing to those at Philippi, said, "Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." Notice the wording of Paul with respect to his Lord. Notice he says that Jesus is my Lord. You notice that? He did not say Jesus is the Lord, although He is the Lord. He did not say that Jesus is our Lord, although He is that as well. He is the Lord of lords and He is the King of kings, as Revelation 17 and verse 14 teaches us. But notice how personal Paul makes this. He said again, "And yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord." Is that not reminiscent of what David wrote in Psalm 23? "The Lord is my shepherd." my shepherd. Is He your shepherd? Is He your Lord? Can I, with Paul, say Jesus is my Lord? Is He Lord in my life? David also recognized the benefits, ladies and gentlemen, of having the Lord as his shepherd. You'll notice that David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Further, not to be lost on us, is the fact that the words are in the present tense. David understood that he was even now under the care of the Good Shepherd, that he was able and certainly willing to supply all of David's needs, physically and spiritually. Notice again with me verses 2 through 6. David says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, and Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David recognized the Lord as his shepherd, but he also recognized the benefits of having the Lord as his shepherd. That He cares for me. That He watches over me. That He preserves me. I shall not want. And again, furthermore, ladies and gentlemen, not just to be redundant, but again to stress this point, because I think sometimes we lose sight of this in regard to our relationship with the Lord. David understood that he was even now under the care and watchfulness of the Good Shepherd, and that he was certainly able and willing to supply all of David's needs. I shall not want. You know, that reminds us of several passages in the New Testament. Sometimes passages that we either take for granted, or sometimes we just simply forget about these things. But our relationship with the Lord is much like David's relationship with the Good Shepherd. Notice, for example, Matthew chapter 6, and as we begin reading here, verse 25 of the chapter, Jesus, as we interrupt the Sermon on the Mount, said this, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life." Do you worry about your life? Do you worry? Now the Lord understood, as well as we understand, that we will have concerns in this life. This world is not a utopia. We will have concerns, without question. We will be placed under trials, without a doubt. And yet Jesus says, do not worry about your life. What is He trying to get across to us? So the idea of worry here is placing undue concern on things, or about having undue concern about things. And the idea is a distracting care. It's not that we have, that we'll never have cares. We will have cares. But what we cannot afford to do is allow these things to distract us, to cause us to lose our focus, to steer us off course. Notice again, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Is that not true?" You know, I live way out in the country. I told you earlier in the week, I live 40 miles from wherever you want to be. And that is true. I'm 20 miles from Youngstown, 22, 25 miles from Youngstown, 30 miles from Canton, 30 miles from Akron. I'm right in the center. I'm just 30, 40 miles from wherever you want to be. And out in the country, we have a variety of birds, from the red-headed woodpecker to the red-tailed hawk, to the blue jay, to the robin, and a number of other types of birds. And it's amazing how well they're taken care of, because I don't feed them. But God takes care of them. They're taken care of according to His plan and His design. And that's Jesus' point here. Look at the birds of the air. Learn from them. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barn. I've yet to have one bird help me take a 50-pound sack of corn into my shed that I keep there to feed my chickens. But yet I find them there all the time eating it. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather in the barn. And yet, God has seen to it that they're taken care of. Now here's His point. Are you not of more value than the birds? Shake head like this. Yes. Yes. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? I quit worrying about that a long time ago. Yeah. Long time ago. But what I didn't gain vertically, I now have horizontally. When I was a youngster, I used to worry about that. Not any longer. My son, before he died, he was about 5'9", close to 5'10" when he died. So he was taller than me all his life. Well, he lived 16 years. And what he always was concerned about was he just wanted to be taller than his dad. Well, he reached that. And I told him one day, son, if you grow up to be half the man your dad is, you'll be 6'5". He was on his way. He had uncles that were all over 6 foot, and that was on his mother's side of the family. But can we add anything to our stature by worrying about it? No. So why do you worry about these things, he goes on to say. Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. So now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry. Do not be distracted by these things. Do not allow these concerns to steer you away from the Lord and to cause you to lose focus. Understand that if you're a child of God, the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. That's what David said. That's what David believed. And the point that Jesus is getting across here is that very same point. Therefore do not worry about these things. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, what we shall wear. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you are in need of all these things. He'll take care of you. But notice the next verse, because here's the qualifier. You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. There's the qualifier. There's the key. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The Lord is my shepherd. Just as He did in the case of David, He will care for me, watch over me, preserve me. He does not lose sight of me in this big world in which I live. And He does not lose sight of you. In John chapter 10, if we'll turn over there, notice verse 7 of that chapter with me. John chapter 10 and verse 7. Here again, we're going to interrupt a discourse of the Lord. He is talking about He being the Good Shepherd. And notice here, if you will, with me, verse 7. Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The idea of going in and out and find pasture is the same idea that David expressed long ago when he said, I shall not want. The Lord will take care of you. He'll provide those things that you need spiritually and physically. If we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, we won't have to worry about those things. Now, I may not get everything my heart's set upon, everything I may desire, but that's not what the Lord promised. What He promised was, I will meet your needs. That's what He promised. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, if you will, with me. And notice here, in this letter that Paul penned to the church at Ephesus, let's begin reading in verse 14 of that third chapter. You know, sometimes I believe we rob ourselves of so many blessings that God has in store for us, and I don't know that we can fully comprehend the blessings that He offers to us. And we don't take advantage of those things. But notice that Paul said, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." And now notice, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." Do we believe that? Do we have confidence in that? That God in His providential care and watchfulness over us will take care of us, meet our spiritual needs through His Son Jesus Christ. Meet our other needs, the things that He has promised to meet. Those are promises that He has made, and you can always count on the fact that God will fulfill His promise. But again, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen." "The Lord is my shepherd," David said, "I shall not want." One more passage along these lines, and then we'll move on. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans, the 8th chapter. And notice here some words of the Apostle Paul to the church at Rome. Let's begin verse 35, where he pens, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Well, who shall? The Lord is my shepherd. Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Will that do it? Or distress? Will that separate you from the love of Christ? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or the sword? Will any of those things separate you from the love of Christ? As we drop down to verse 37, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. And if He is my shepherd, I too, with confidence, can understand that He cares for me, that He watches over me, and that He preserves me." But these benefits, ladies and gentlemen, and blessings belong to the one who is the Lord's sheep. Let me repeat that. These blessings, which we've been talking about, these benefits and these blessings belong to one who belongs to the Lord. No man has the right to consider himself the Lord's sheep, nor the Lord his shepherd, who has not become part of his flock by hearing and following the shepherd's voice. It is possible to not be part of his sheep or flock, and consequently, to not have the Lord as one's shepherd. Listen to the words of Jesus in John chapter 10, verse 25. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you." So it is possible to not be part of his sheep or flock. And consequently, if that is the state that I am in, to not have the Lord as one's shepherd. And consequently, to not enjoy the blessings that we just had under consideration. And so the question is, how can this situation be remedied? What must one do in order for the Lord to become my shepherd and enjoy the blessings belonging to the Lord's sheep? Well, let's consider what the Good Shepherd has said about that. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, we must hear His voice. Hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. Turn, if you will, if you're not already there, back to John chapter 10 and notice with me a couple of verses here. Let's begin in verse 27. Notice that Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." So I must hear the voice of the shepherd. If I'm not a part of his flock, if I cannot consider him to be my shepherd, if I do not belong to him, therefore these blessings are not mine. That can be remedied if I would just simply understand that I am to hear the voice of the shepherd. I must hear his voice. In Revelation 3 and verse 20, Jesus said this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him and he with me." Fellowship with him is possible. Fellowship with him is available. He can become your shepherd. And you, like David, can say, "The Lord is my shepherd," but he's standing at the door and he's knocking. You hear his voice. You must open that door and let him in. He's not going to open it for you. Look at the passage again. "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door," it's my responsibility to open the door and let him in. You know, artists have tried to capture the sentiment of this verse, and maybe you have seen the picture where you see what their concept is of Jesus on one side of a door and then someone standing on the other side of that door. And what is conspicuous by absence is on Jesus' side there is no door handle. That's because he's the one standing at the door and knocking. He's the one who is speaking. If you hear his voice, understand what he's saying, and are willing to come to him on his terms, then open that door and let him in. I have to open that door and let him in. You know, the Jew was trained to recognize the voice. You know, you see that sometimes in the book of Acts. You see that when Peter was released from prison in Acts chapter 12, the damsel recognized his voice when he came to the gate where many of the disciples were on that occasion. She recognized his voice. Do you recognize his voice? Do you hear the voice of the shepherd? If you recognize his voice, then let him in. You must hear his voice. Open the door. What door? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the door of your heart. Now, sadly, there are many who have closed their hearts to the Lord through sin. And instead of having the Lord as their shepherd, they are like those sheep described by Peter in 1 Peter 2 and verse 25, where he says, "You are like sheep going astray." And that's an interesting concept that Peter presents to us there, because what he is picturing for us is this, that here we have sheep out here that are just going in every direction. They have no sense of direction. They are without a shepherd, without any guidance. And we have so many in the world who are just like that. They're out here wandering with no moral compass, no sense of direction. And yet here is the Good Shepherd that says, "I will guide you. I will take care of you. Hear my voice. Open the door of your heart. Let me in." And so what is needed for one in such a condition, if you're still in 1 Peter 2 and verse 25, is that they need to come to that shepherd and overseer of their soul. If they'll do that, then they, like David, can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." But they must hear his voice. They must open that door of their heart and let him in. But that brings us to another, I think, important question, and that is, what does it mean to hear the voice of the shepherd? How does the shepherd speak to us? Not by way of texting, or cell phones, or AT&T, but through His Word. He speaks through His Word to us. And we must hear it and follow His voice through obedience. Look at John chapter 10 and verse 4 again. And when He brings out His own sheep, He goes before Him, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. They follow Him. They know His voice. They recognize His voice. They follow where He leads. They're obedient to the shepherd. And you know, in Matthew chapter 17, the Mount of Transfiguration, as Jesus was there with Peter, James, and John, and Moses and Elijah appeared to them on that occasion, you recall that Peter said, "Lord, it's good that we're here. Let us build three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you." He no sooner got those words out than a voice from heaven spoke, said, "No, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you Him." You must hear the voice of the Savior. Listen to the voice of the shepherd. In John chapter 6 and verse 68, we have again the words of Peter recorded for us. You recall that after Jesus fed the thousands, He fed the multitude, that He went across the Sea of Galilee, and they followed Him. But they followed Him for the wrong reason. And He pointed that out to them as He taught them spiritual lessons about how that He was the bread, that true manna that came down from heaven. Well, that's not what they wanted to hear. And so many of them departed from Him. And the Bible says, walk no more with Him. Now, that's a sad commentary on them. Jesus, seeing them go, turned to His disciples and said, "Will you go also?" And Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Are you listening? What's it mean to hear His voice? Well, He has the words of eternal life. Hear His voice. Obey Him. We must heed the words of the Son. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, the Hebrew writer records for us, "Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience." And then in verse 9, "He has become the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him." What's it mean to hear His voice and let Him in? Open the door of your heart and obey Him. Come to Him on His terms. In Matthew 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven." You hear His voice? Then listen to Him. Obey Him. God's power to save is found in the gospel. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile." Do you hear His voice? He's speaking to you through that gospel. God's power to save. Open the door of your heart and let Him in if you want Him as your shepherd. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, we understand that the gospel was revealed to those apostles by Jesus Christ. The gospel is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I must hear it and I must obey it. Romans 10 and verse 17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Romans 6, verses 17 and verse 18, Paul said to those at Rome that he was thankful that they were obedient from the heart, or that they had obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that had been delivered to them. That form of doctrine, incidentally, if you just go back up into that chapter, is what he has under discussion or consideration when he talks about we being baptized into His death and rising up to walk in newness of life. And we'll say more about that here in just a moment. This is what it means to hear the voice of the shepherd. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. You want that fellowship? You want to be able to join with David and say, the Lord is my shepherd? Then listen to him. Hear his voice. What is the voice of the shepherd saying to me? That I may have him as my shepherd. Well, again, hear that gospel. Romans 10, verse 17. Believe that gospel. Believe in the good shepherd. Believe in Jesus. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, except you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. So faith is essential. It is necessary. Must believe. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 16, Jesus to His apostles said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. I must believe the words of the Good Shepherd. I must believe that He is. Let me claim to be. Except you believe that I am, he said, you will die in your sins. But the Bible teaches that it's a certain type of faith that will save one. And that is an obedient faith. A faith that will put their full confidence and trust in the Lord, in the voice of the shepherd, and follow Him. And so the question is, has the shepherd asked anything more of me that I should follow Him? And the answer is yes. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3 and verse 5, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So if I truly believe in Him, and if I'm listening to the voice of the shepherd, if I heed His voice, then I will repent of my sins. In Acts 17 and verse 30, the Apostle Paul, there on Mars Hill, as he was teaching the learned men of his day in Athens, Greece, said, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Must repent. In Acts 2 and verse 36, Peter said to his audience on that occasion, that therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, God made both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do? Peter said what? Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of your sins. Repentance is essential. Anything else that the shepherd has asked of me? Yes, listen to his voice. He said I must be willing to confess my faith in him before men. In Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33, that's exactly what he taught. And he said if I was unwilling to do that, if I was unwilling to confess Him before men, He would deny me before His Father, which is in heaven. In Acts 10, or Romans 10 and verse 10, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In Acts chapter 8, and beginning about verse 35, we have an example of one who made that good confession. He's known to us as the Ethiopian treasurer. And Philip, the evangelist, caught up with this man in Gaza. As he was traveling back to Ethiopia after having been to Jerusalem to worship. And this man was reading from Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah chapter 53 as a matter of fact. And Philip asked him, do you understand what you read? He said, how can I unless someone help me? And the Bible says that Philip began at that place and preached unto him Jesus. As they came to a certain body of water, the Bible says the eunuch said, look, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believe, you may. What Philip is saying to him is, I must know whether or not you believe. Until I know that, it'd be unlawful for me to baptize you. What's Philip asking him? He's asking him to do what Jesus said must be done, and that is, we must be willing to confess Him before men. The Ethiopian treasurer said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And based upon that confession, they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Listen to the voice of the shepherd. You hear his voice. then let him in. Open the door of your heart and let him in so that you, like David, can say, the Lord is my shepherd. That you, like Paul, can say, the Lord is my Lord, or Jesus is my Lord. But listen to the voice of the shepherd one more time. Because he teaches us that we must be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 again, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. You know, there's two things under consideration in that passage, salvation and condemnation. Now, if you want to be saved, then believe and be baptized. If you want condemnation, just simply don't believe. That's what Jesus said in that passage. In Acts 2:38 again, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 22 and verse 16, as Paul is recounting his conversion, he speaks of Ananias coming to him. And Ananias saying to him, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. These things are essential in order for the Lord to become my shepherd. Do you hear His voice? Then let Him in. Open the door of your heart and let Him in. After, ladies and gentlemen, after becoming one of the good shepherd's sheep, one must continue to follow the voice of the shepherd. Hear his voice again in John chapter 10, beginning in verse 3. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now I am told that what Jesus pictures here would have been something that his audience would have been very familiar with, and that is the shepherd leading his sheep. And that only a sick sheep would not follow the voice of the shepherd, but would follow the voice of a stranger. Now, out where I live, I have a few chickens. They don't follow my voice. I have a few hogs. Oh, well, not yet. I get them about every other year. This is the year to get those. I have those. They don't follow my voice. So I can't relate to that from the standpoint of hogs and chickens. But sheep are a little different. And sheep will follow the voice of their shepherd. And all he has to do is walk before them and lead. And calls them by name. He knows them by name. And they know him. And he leads them out. After I become one of the good shepherd sheep, I must continue to follow the voice of the shepherd and avoid the voice of a stranger. Only a sick sheep would follow the voice of a stranger. If the Lord is truly my shepherd, I will follow only His voice. I'll not follow the voice of false doctrine. I'll not follow the voice of the false teacher. Matter of fact, it's my responsibility, if I become one of His sheep, to test the spirits. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, that's exactly what John said. You test the spirits, because there are many false teachers that have gone out into the world. So you put them to the test. And you follow the voice of the true shepherd. In 2 John, notice with me, verse 9 of the chapter. Here, 2 John, verse 9. Whosoever or whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Do not support, follow, condone in any way, shape, or form. Listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Heed His voice. Only someone who is spiritually sick would follow the voice of a stranger and ignore the voice of the Good Shepherd, of whom this psalm speaks. Psalm 23. Do not follow the voice of the world. I'm not going to say much about that tonight because we dealt with that last night rather extensively. But James teaches us that if we are a friend of the world, then we are an enemy of God. We don't follow the voice of the world. We follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. If this is the way the Good Shepherd wants me to think, then I'll think this way. If this is the way He wants me to talk, then I'll speak this way. I'll talk this way. My speech will be with grace and seasoned with salt. And as Paul told those at Ephesus, I'll take heed to this, that there'll be no filthy communication proceeding from my mouth. I will listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. I'll not think like the world, act like the world. I just simply will not do that. I'll not listen to the voice of the world. I'm going to listen to the voice of the Shepherd. I'll do my very best to always follow His voice in order that I may always enjoy the blessings that my Shepherd provides for me now and in the end, eternal life. Again, notice with me, John chapter 10. And let's pick up the thought again in verse 27. John chapter 10, verse 27. But you do not believe because you... My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Well, that is true. No one will. No one can, unless you what? Unless you allow it. How would I allow that to happen? I would cease to follow the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow the voice of the stranger. The voice of the false teacher, false doctrine, voice of the world, so on. My Shepherd provides for me now. And in the end, He grant me eternal life. Can you say with David, the Lord is my shepherd? If you cannot say that, why not? And if not, why not do something about that right now? Today, while the time and opportunity is yours to do so. Hear His voice. Open your heart. Let Him into your life through simply obeying His voice. The Lord, David says, again, is my shepherd. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to contemplate? And if you're outside of Christ, tonight when you go home, if you will just simply now come to Him on His terms, you can place your head upon your pillow. And you know what you can say? The Lord is my shepherd. And you know what else you can contemplate? Like David, you can contemplate this wonderful blessing. I shall not want. But that's going to be up to you. Do you hear His voice? Open your heart. Let Him in. Child of God, as you've fallen away, you have ceased to listen to the voice of the shepherd. You're listening to the voice of the stranger, and that makes you sick spiritually. And you need to come back to the shepherd. And once again, listen to His voice. Let Him lead you, guide you. Come to the bishop and overseer of your soul, that good shepherd. If you're subject to the invitation tonight, we invite you to come. As we stand, we sing the song and select.